This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
Joyce and Sharitz here with you. This is the Morning Run on BFM 89.9. Now let's take a look at the local headlines. The government wants to acquire 4 toll roads from Garuda Berhad. And as a result, we saw Garuda stock took a dive yesterday at the KLCI. We spoke about the government's plans to acquire 4 toll roads yesterday as they started talks with Garuda to negotiate the acquisition. So the highways are LDP, you have Sprint, Kasas, and the Smart Tunnel.
So yes, the plan is that there's going to be sort of three-tier usage where there's going to be a toll-free period between 11 p.m. to 5 a.m. and there's going to be a full toll charge during, you know, and this is mainly to manage congestion, and these it will be within a span of 6 hours during the day, and also a discounted rate of 30% for all existing toll charges beyond the congestion time, as well as the 11 p.m. to 5 a.m. And this new system is going to be introduced by the federal government if they succeed over the operation of the highway.
Yeah, so given that, you know, Sharitz, Garuda has a majority stake in the 4 highways, so it's no wonder the stock tumbled yesterday. Looking at this, Garuda owns about 44% of Lightrack, that in turn owns majority stakes in LDP and Sprint Highways. Garuda also owns 70% of Kasas and 50% of the Smart Tunnel. So looking at their shares yesterday, it fell 6% to R2.86, closing with a market cap of about 7 billion ringgit.
Yeah, so Litruck, meanwhile, they fell some about 9% to close about R4.17, closing a market capitalization of 2.2 billion ringgit.
Yeah, so one of Garuda's major shareholders is EPF, which owns about 12%. Well, with all that in mind, we wanted to take a look at how this acquisitions would affect the company. So for more insights, we spoke to Chong Jensen. He is Senior Vice President of Research at Alliance DBS, and how the government acquiring these 4 toll roads would affect Garuda's bottom line.
In terms of the bottom line contribution, if you look at the previous financial year, financial 18, it contributed about 20% in terms of its core pre-tax profit. So if we were to assume some completion in this financial year, financial 18, the year is July, and a full impact in financial 20, we think it could shave off about 24% of the Garuda's bottom line. But on the flip side, I would think the balance sheet will improve. Its current net gearing is 0.54 times, and assuming a full sale of the 4 toll roads, we could see net gearing potentially half, and this is notwithstanding the cash receipts from Splash, which is due quite soon.
We also asked Jensen what a fair price for the toll might be.
I'll just base it on in terms of what we value it in our sum apart valuation. So we've valued its interest, its effective interest in the 4 toll roads at about 2.2 billion ringgit, which assumes some discount to the full DCF value. I would think anything in the range of 2.2 billion and upwards would seem as fair. I understand in terms of the book value of the 4 toll roads, based on its effective stake, it's closer to about a billion ringgit. So I understand that if valuation were to be based on DCF, then I think anything to the north of 2.2 billion would be seen quite fair.
We also asked them about Garuda, what they can do in the meantime to offset the negative impact.
I think with issues such as pricing and valuation being highly sensitive, it would be difficult for Garuda to probably comment on anything too meaningful. But what we understand so far is that the purchase would likely be done on a willing buyer and willing seller basis with no expropriation clause to be used, and more than likely will be based on DCF valuation. So I suppose perhaps a press statement to that effect may allay some investor concerns, but I suppose Garuda can focus on its core competencies, which is largely construction. The upcoming Penang Transport Master Plan with approvals around the corner, I think Garuda can gear up for that. I think that would be the best solution for in terms of what it could possibly do to offset this negative impact.
That was Chong Jensen, Senior Vice President of Research at Alliance DBS. Well, yeah, I guess his comments it all boils down to pricing. I think it'll be important. Everybody is waiting to find out how much, you know, the government's willing to pay for this. I think Gamuda has come out. There's a headline right there asking the government saying that they want a deal to be fair to its shareholders.
Yeah, that's right. So I think that's what shocked. That's what shocked the share price yesterday. I guess that's a big question as to how the government is going to price when they do decide to proceed with the acquisition. But at the same time, I think Gamuda also highlighted that, you know, this move by the government will impact the sort of perception over investors as to how we deal with our businesses here. Mm. And I think, you know, one thing, it's also about discussing whether or not a government, why a government is doing this, right? I mean, if we recall back before the election, 9th of May, a government did include in their manifesto to abolish toll. And of course, the reality is that this is not impossible because it's going to cost a lot of money, right? Mm. So one way is to sort of meet halfway, sort of to manage it over time and see, you know, take this in stages. So, yeah.
You know, interestingly, Prime Minister Tun Mahathir has said that even if the government abolished toll collection, the people would still be paying for it through the taxes and the national budget. So he said cancelling all the rates would be too expensive. And, you know, he clarified that in order to go through with taking over toll highways, they need to raise money and service the loans that they raise.
Yeah, so bottom line is that this introduction is not just about toll, it's about managing congestion, right? So if the toll was even free, I mean, if the toll was made free, it's just going to be another road where toll is just going to start piling up cars. And I think the government has also invested quite a lot on the public transportation. It's trying to encourage them to, you know, utilize that, you know, as a mode to get from transport to get from point A to point B.
Yeah, so it's indirectly, it seems like they are just fulfilling their promise, because they promised for toll highways to be free of charge. But now with congestion charge, it's a semi-cap promise. But moving forward, it'll be interesting to watch what comes up from this. You know, the whole numbers, the price tag. How are they going to manage the shareholders as well when it comes to Gamuda? Mm. And what comes up for this. So definitely a story that we'll be keeping close tabs on. We'll be right back after the 7:30 a.m. news. So stay tuned. This is BFM 89.9. Now, moving on to some local news, we have Media Prima. They've seen a new substantial shareholder. That's H. Benston. But what do we know of them? And are they a proxy for somebody, Sharad?
Yeah, so it's H. Benston. And the Media Council proposal is to go through. If it were to go through, Media Prima would need to disclose any new political interest in them. We're taking a look at the report from the Malaysian Reserve today. And amidst talk of the takeover and restructuring in the media industry, H. Benston Investment Partners have emerged as Media Prima's new substantial shareholder. Over the last few weeks, they have acquired about 5% stake in the Media Prima.
Interesting. So a check by Malaysian Reserve showed that H. Benston's portfolio includes 60 to 80 diversified companies across countries, industries and market caps. And they are a financial manager based in London. And it'll be interesting to see who is behind them, or are they the real shareholders the new substantial shareholders of Media Prima.
And also the interest on Media Prima, especially with the media landscape changing. A background, Media Prima has always been linked, you know, interlinked with UMNO and Putrajaya, but a lot has changed since our election. Towards the end of last year, UMNO still held about 19% stake. However, there's been talk that they could be selling down the stake, especially if it's offered a good deal.
Interesting. So where did this stake come from, this recent substantial shareholding stake that H. Benston bought about? I mean, all eyes will be on this because, you know, the whole media landscape after what happened in GE14, I think there's been a lot of talk as to, you know, potential M&As, changes in shareholding when it comes to media companies, whether or not there's also questions whether or not political parties should hold stakes in media companies.
That's right. So I think we spoke several days back with Jahaba Sadiq with regards to ownership of stake of media companies and how political declaration could sort of help mitigate that. Mm-hmm. It's important for media to, you know, for the public to know what is your inclination, despite them being objective with facts. However, like it or not, there's always opinions are always skewed towards one side.
It depends. Some companies don't, but it also boils down to the substantial shareholder. The shareholder, how much involved is the shareholder?
Right.
You have shareholders who know not to get involved. They don't get involved with the editorial stance and all that. But interestingly, also in line with this whole changing media landscape story, in February, Dato' Abdul Aziz Syed Fadzir, he's the executive chairman of Utusan, he acquired a 32% in the company and became its new single largest shareholder.
Yeah, but he quit the post in December after spending just 6 months of the job. And Utusan said that Aziz bought the stake at 19 cents per share for a total of 6.65 million via his private vehicle, Opulence Asia Sunir Berhad. The price was at a premium of 7.5 cents or 65% based on the stock price at that time.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.